This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Youth-led climate change NGO, Malaysian Youth Delegation, or MYD, are an organization which focuses on building the capacity of Malaysian youths to engage with climate policy. They are set to host the third annual Malaysian Local Conference of Youth, hosted virtually over three weekends, which aims to take on pressing issues such as climate finance, green economy and green jobs, climate policies and governance, and more. So I'm going to find out how these youths are mobilizing to make their voices heard from Gillian Thesera, who is the project manager of the virtual Malaysian Local Conference of Youth 2020. Welcome, Gillian. How are you today?
Hi, Juliet. Thank you for having me. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. So I briefly mentioned what the Malaysian Youth Delegation is all about. But I mean, can you explain it to us? You know, what role does the organization play in civil society?
So the Malaysian Youth Delegation, MYD, was founded in 2015 to represent Malaysian youth at international climate negotiations and to build Malaysian youth's capacity in the fields of climate policy research and advocacy. MYD has been representing Malaysian youth at UN climate COPs since COP21 in Paris in 2015. We also organise our training series to educate the Malaysian public, especially youth about climate change and climate policy and diplomacy. Since 2018, we have also been organizing our flagship annual event, the Malaysian Local Conference of Youth, an event under the auspices of YANGO, the official UN Youth Climate Constituency. MYLCOI bridges Malaysian youth with the international climate agenda. And MYLCOI 2020, which is the only LCOI in Southeast Asia that has been organized for three consecutive years, has a strong regional dimension with participants from all 10 ASEAN member states, and it's also therefore laying the foundations for a regional ASEAN youth climate movement that can mobilize for a green post-COVID recovery.
Mm-hmm. And, you yourself, Julian, tell me a little bit about what spurred you to get involved with this group. You know, what got you interested in this particular topic?
Personally, I have been interested in environmental issues since I was a child. So while growing up here in Malaysia, I was a member of WWF Malaysia and also the Malaysian Nature Society. And I spent many hours reading about nature and observing birds, insects and plants in the parks and gardens near where I lived. And later on, while pursuing graduate studies in history in Geneva, Switzerland, I gained exposure to the International Sustainable Development Agenda, which includes climate action, and became motivated to achieve positive environmental and social impact through my career. I also discovered youth-led climate policy and diplomacy organizations in countries like Switzerland and searched for something similar in Malaysia, which is how I found MYD. I applied to join MYD after moving back to Malaysia in 2019 and have been actively involved in the organization ever since. So my time in MYD has been very rewarding as I've deepened my understanding of climate policy, developed leadership skills, and most importantly, met awesome Malaysian youths who are passionate about the environment and therefore also gained new friends.
And tell me a little bit more about this group of people who are now your friends, right? I mean, who kind of make up the people in MYD? You know, are there people from all sorts of different backgrounds, you know, different sorts of skills and knowledge? You know, is that kind of the makeup of the group?
Yeah, so all MYD members are youths aged 18 to 35 years old, and we do come from quite diverse backgrounds. So some of the members of the group are still students, whether undergraduate students or graduate students, and others are young professionals like myself. And the students are studying a broad range of subjects, so from natural sciences and engineering to social sciences and humanities. And likewise, the young professionals are also working in a range of fields. So we have people working in renewable energy, people working in conservation. We have people like me who work in professional services like consulting. We have lawyers, we have journalists, and so on and so forth. So really a range of backgrounds and skills.
That's excellent. And, you know, I mean, the last time I spoke to you guys, I mean, that was, of course, pre-COVID, right? How has, you know, all the lockdowns, how has COVID-19, how has the pandemic actually impacted, you know, how you guys meet and carry out your activities and your work?
So COVID certainly was a challenge and a disruption to our plans for the year, like it was for just about everyone else. Mm-hmm. And in the past, we used to meet in person, and our events actually also used to be in person. So for example, our public talks, the training series, and also the local conference of youth would have been held in person. However, this COVID crisis has actually been an opportunity as well for us to digitally transform our organization and also to broaden our reach, because our events were in person, they were mostly held in the Klang Valley, and it was difficult for youths in other states in Malaysia and also from outside of Malaysia to participate in our events. However, this year, because we've gone all virtual, so for example, our training series, we've been able to get people who can tune in from other states in Malaysia, because it's broadcast on Zoom and also on our Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. And likewise for our Malaysian Local Conference of Youth this year, because it's gone all virtual. So that's why we've actually been able to get speakers from across Southeast Asia. And also we now have like registered participants from all 10 ASEAN member states. So while the crisis has been challenging, it's also turned into like a rewarding opportunity, actually.
That's excellent. And I guess, you know, also the pandemic itself, excuse me, has, you know, sort of awakened quite a lot of people to the urgency of the climate crisis as well. You know, all of the impact of our actions on nature, on wildlife, on forests. And I suppose, you know, that also translates to, you know, the lack of action for the climate crisis. And, you know, speaking of that, you know, why do you think there is such a lack of action on addressing the climate crisis, you know, both globally and also here in Malaysia?
I think that's a deep question, and there are a number of factors that contribute to that. So firstly, I think the climate crisis is a form of the tragedy of the commons, meaning that it's an undesirable outcome that resulted from the rational self-interested actions of individuals, whether individual countries or individual persons working towards their valid economic goals. And tragedies of the commons, such as climate change or overgrazing, overfishing, they can be resolved by coordination and cooperation. However, effective coordination between humans is actually quite difficult to achieve. After all, it can already be hard just for a group of friends meeting up to coordinate on what and where to eat. So how much more challenging it is for countries to coordinate to decide the future of the planet and humanity. And also then there is human nature and cognitive biases as well that contribute to the lack of action on addressing the climate crisis. It can be hard for humans to think of the long-term trajectory of humanity in the planet and also to consider the interests of future generations who have yet to be born, especially when there are so many other pressing concerns in the present, such as how to put enough food on the table for the family. Mm. And it can be hard for humans to accept making these uncomfortable changes or sacrifices in the present for the sake of a better long-term future, especially as our mortality, human mortality, may mean that individuals making the sacrifices now may never actually get to see and experience the better long-term future. And then there's also the historical norm in which humans saw themselves as superior to other living creatures, mm-hmm. and perceived the planet as a source of limitless resources to be exploited for human gain. And this also contributes to a lack of action on the climate crisis. And then with regards to Malaysia in particular, a primary reason for lack of action, I think, is the perception that there is a trade-off between economic development and climate action, and that Malaysia as a developing country should first develop itself first before addressing the climate crisis. This trade-off may have been true for the 20th century when economic development relied on the combustion of fossil fuels. However, technological progress means that this trade-off is increasingly a false dichotomy. So advances in renewable energy technology, for instance, makes sustainable economic development increasingly feasible, and Malaysia's long-term economic interests would actually be better served by transitioning towards renewables rather than continuing to rely on the fossil fuels that have powered the country's economic development since independence.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everything you said just makes complete sense, right? But do you think that, you know, people are gaining a better understanding of that people are realizing that? And also, you know, being a youth-led organization, you know, what strengths do you feel that youths have, you know, in addressing these issues, in bringing these issues out to the public?
Well, I do think people are gaining understanding of the importance of climate action, and we see this as well at the international level. So, for example, countries like China have started to set these carbon neutrality targets, and also the European Union has now its European Green Deal, and even President-elect Joe Biden, the USA as well, has like come up with some ideas for potential climate action that the US can take. And as for the strengths that youth have, well, youth have passion, hope, and creativity. And we have not yet been like worn down by disappointments in life. And so we have not yet necessarily become like cynics who think that nothing effective can be done to change humanity's fate. And also, youth have also not yet been fully conditioned and habituated to accepting pre-existing mindsets and ways of working, which resulted in the climate crisis. Hence, we can be more creative in pursuing solutions to the climate crisis. Whereas like people who already have been habituated to certain ways of thinking, for example, about the importance of fossil fuels, it can be a bit more difficult to change and shift their mindsets. And youth as well, especially those of us who are still single, we have fewer commitments, and so we can also take risk in our careers and for example, take up jobs that allow us to work in the climate crisis rather than pursue more traditional professions, such as maybe like accounting and or law and so on and so forth.
And I'm just curious, you know, Julian, who are some of the people that you respect or admire or listen to, you know, when it comes to things like climate change and the climate crisis?
Well, the leader I listen to most on the climate crisis is actually Pope Francis, because I appreciate his holistic vision of the climate crisis. So in his landmark encyclical Laudato Si that was published in 2015, Pope Francis clearly outlined how the climate crisis is both an environmental crisis and a social justice crisis, as the poor of the earth who have contributed least to the crisis are suffering the worst consequences. Furthermore, Pope Francis has also had the insight that technological solutions are not enough to resolve the climate crisis. Rather, what is truly needed are conversions of hearts, renewals of human beings' relationships with each other and the planet, as well as radical transformations in the ways we work, live, and be as human beings. And furthermore, faith-based organizations also play an important role in addressing the climate crisis by serving as moral and ethical guides for people, and also through the humanitarian development work they do, which relieves the sufferings of those on the front lines of climate change.
I'm speaking today to Julian Tesera. He is the project manager for the Malaysian Local Conference of Youth 2020. And we are discussing, well, why youths, are taking such a strong stand against the climate crisis. And we're finding out more about the Malaysian youth delegation who are organizing that conference I just mentioned. And after this quick break, we're going to find out what that conference is all about. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, PFM 89.9. Welcome back to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, and joining me on the line today is Julian Tesera. He is the project manager for the Malaysian Local Conference of Youth 2020, and he is also part of the youth-led climate change NGO, the Malaysian Youth Delegation, who are organizing the Malaysian Local Conference of Youth 2020. So, you know, Julian, before the break, we were talking a bit about, you know, why you think, youths, have so much strength and have so much power in promoting the climate crisis issue. But, you know, a lot of people are very skeptical, shall we say, of that. And, you know, a lot of them say that young people are better off sticking to their studies, you know, rather than protesting about climate change, or, you know, they should do the opposite of what you mentioned earlier before the break. You know, they should just start focusing on getting on with their lives. What are your responses to people who sort of, you know, just brush aside the youth and their voices when it comes to the climate crisis?
I think what I would say is that Greta Thunberg is right, so that the youth of today, especially those who are still in school, they're having their futures robbed and destroyed by the ongoing climate crisis. And it's definitely necessary for the youth to mobilize for climate action to save their futures. And furthermore, for those who say that youth should just like get on with their lives, get on with their studies and so forth, stay in school rather than go in the streets and protest. Furthermore, what I would say is that the existing school curriculum may not actually even prepare youth for the challenges of the 21st century, such as how to face and resolve the climate crisis. So, for example, in Malaysia, there's no climate change syllabus in the Malaysian public school curriculum. And moreover, like as a historian myself, like I also know that there is evidence that a passionate, organized group of people can change history. So look at the civil rights movement in the USA, or even the movements for independence and decolonization in countries like Malaysia. Climate catastrophe is not inevitable, and by mobilizing for climate action, the youth can actually be agents of their own history that will be environmentally sustainable. All of that being said, I do also think that education is very important for effective climate action. So besides mobilizing for climate action, I would also urge youth to continue to pursue a wide-ranging education comprising the natural sciences, social sciences, and humanities in order to understand the climate crisis in all its complexity and develop innovative solutions. And also urge youth to continue to gain experiences and build skills so that they can affect different kinds of professional skills and technical skills so that they can contribute effectively to solving the climate crisis.
And speaking of, you know, contributing to the climate crisis, so the Malaysian Youth Delegation is organizing this year's virtual Malaysian Local Conference of Youth. Tell me a little bit about this conference and what it's all about.
Yes, so the Virtual Malaysian Local Conference of Youth 2020 is all about bringing together Malaysian Southeast Asian youth climate experts, activists, leaders, and others who are interested in climate change to enable them to all learn from each other and inspire each other. And in doing so, NYD hopes that this conference can be a foundation for the growth of a more passionate and effective climate movement in Malaysia and Southeast Asia. So there'll be panels where about different topics such as climate finance and nature-based solutions. There'll be fireside chats with climate leaders in the region and so on and so forth, where people can get the chance to hear from experts and leaders and also exchange ideas and ask each other questions and hopefully inspire each other to take more effective climate action going forward.
And the theme is mobilizing for a green post-COVID-19 recovery, right? And I'm just curious, you know, why was this particular theme chosen, you know, and maybe you can just walk us through all the different topics that will be covered in the conference as well.
Yes. So the theme was chosen because the COVID-19 pandemic has revealed how flawed and broken our ways of working and living were. So relentless exploitation of nature was what allowed a novel virus to cross the species barrier into humans and start the pandemic. Also, so much of work travel, which generated a lot of carbon emissions before the pandemic, has turned out to be unnecessary as people are capable of working effectively, remotely and virtually with modern technology. Furthermore, those who are poor and disadvantaged globally have suffered the worst health and economic consequences of the current pandemic. So right now, as the world races towards developing effective vaccines, wealthy countries have already pre-ordered large stocks of vaccines, leaving developing countries to struggle to get whatever is left. Humanity does not need to go back to the way things were before the pandemic. We can build back greener and better. And this is why the Virtual Malaysian Local Conference of Youth 2020 aims to be a catalyst of a greener post-COVID recovery in Malaysia and Southeast Asia. NYLCOI 2020 will focus on five interdependent thematic tracks through national, regional, and global lenses: climate finance, green economy and green jobs, sustainable cities, local communities and local action, nature-based solutions, climate policies and governance, and ASEAN's potential for climate leadership.
Okay. And, you know, you mentioned the word catalyst, right? You intend to be a catalyst. And I mean, there are going to be some very meaningful conversations, of course, taking place during this conference. But how do you intend to turn all those meaningful conversations into action?
So one way would be to engage with policymakers. And we are already going to be doing this through the conference, for example. Mm-hmm. So the Deputy Minister of Environment and Water is officiating the conference. We've invited several diplomats from international embassies here in Malaysia to participate on a panel. And so they are international policymakers. And also we have like representatives from Malaysian government agencies such as Urbanize as well, who will be participating in the conference. So this direct engagement is already one way we hope to turn conversations into action, by enabling youth to engage directly with policymakers, allowing policymakers to hear directly the ideas of youth from the ground. Mm-hmm. And also another way we want to turn meaningful ideas, meaningful conversations to actions is also to, through the conference, already to start building a sense of community among Southeast Asian youth, especially for climate action. Because mm-hmm. thus far, the regional dimension of climate action is still relatively underdeveloped in Southeast Asia. And this is something that we at NYD want to change, especially through this virtual conference of ours. And so we want to build connections, build networks, and through these networks, we can hopefully build like coalitions that can mobilize for more effective climate action on a regional level.
So, you know, I've seen many critics actually saying that, you know, all these sort of youth-led protests and movements, they've actually done very little to sway politics or policy on climate change so far. How would you respond to, you know, criticism such as that?
In response to that kind of criticism, like what I would say is that actually the youth are only just getting started. So it's still too early to say that we have had little effect on climate policy. And furthermore, youth, we don't just take actions on the streets. We also vote at the ballot box and we vote with our wallets, with the consumption choices we make. So like in Malaysia, now that the voting age has been lowered to 18, the youth will have a greater voice, greater influence at the ballot box. And our interest, for example, in climate action will thus have greater political impact going forward, as our elected representatives will need to care about what we care about if they want our votes at the ballot box. And likewise, as youth enter the workforce, as we gain economic power to make consumption choices, we are increasingly choosing sustainable choices. And so companies and will also need to change the products they offer if they want us to continue purchasing from them.
Yes. And, you know, you mentioned something very important there, you know, votes. Our votes, you know, is what it's going to get, actually going to get people to make some changes, right? So is that something that the Malaysian Youth Delegation is also working towards, you know, getting more people, you know, collaborating with other groups, for example, those who are working to get young people, you know, to vote and get more interested in politics, you know, are you also sort of like going to work with them to make, you know, the environment a deciding factor on, you know, choosing your candidates in any elections?
Yes, MYD has plans in the pipeline to further build the capacity of Malaysian youth to take action on climate change, mm-hmm. including by educating them about climate policy so they can, for example, make more informed choices at the ballot box. And we are also exploring collaborations with other youth organizations, including other policy-focused organizations, to enable youth to mobilize more effectively for climate action.
Excellent. Okay. And I guess, you know, a very good way to get everyone mobilized is, of course, to attend this conference. You know, how can one actually participate in the Malaysian Local Conference of Youth?
So the Virtual Malaysian Local Conference of Youth 2020 is a virtual conference which will be hosted on Zoom, and the conference is free of charge. It will also be broadcast on live on NYD's Facebook page. Mm-hmm. All people need to participate is an internet connection. And the target audience is youth age 18 to 35 years old, which is how YoungGo defines youth. And the registration is done virtually. And people can sign up by following our posts on our social media channels, by following us at MYD Climate on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we also have created a website for the conference, which is also shared on our social media channels.
Okay. And you know what? I mean, what would your sell be to participants? You know, what can they expect, you know, coming out from this conference?
What they can expect would be to gain new knowledge and a new understanding on various topics related to climate action, such as, for example, climate finance, nature-based climate solutions, sustainable cities. And they can also expect to gain inspiration from their peers who are working in green jobs and who are mobilizing local communities for climate action, and also their peers in the region in Southeast Asia who are leading climate organizations and our climate activists. And also, because we have this aim of building community, we hope as well that by connecting virtually, people can also make new friends, and that would also be a really good takeaway from the conference.
Definitely. And, you know, just to kind of feel that, you know, there is a community out there, you know, working on things that, you know, that everyone is mutually interested in, right? And I guess, you know, coming out from this as well, what specific things would you as a group like to see action being taken on? And, you know, who would you like to see, you know, being galvanized to take this action?
So some specific things that we would like to see going forward for Malaysia would be, for instance, the raising of ambitions of our carbon emissions targets, and also meaningful action being taken to reduce carbon emissions and to accelerate energy transition in Malaysia. And also, we would like to see a comprehensive national adaptation plan/policy and action being taken to enable Malaysia to effectively adapt to the consequences of climate change, because we are already experiencing these consequences, such as rising sea levels, more frequent and damaging floods, and intense heat waves. So adaptation is really needed.
Okay. All right. And I guess just to conclude, Julian, you know, in a nutshell, what message would you like to leave Malaysians of all ages with on the importance of fighting climate change?
So my closing message would be the following. Earth is a unique, beautiful planet in an infinitely vast universe, and it's the only home we have. There is no planet B. So we have a responsibility towards ourselves, towards future generations, and towards all the living creatures we share this planet with, to care for the Earth and to heal its wounds. The climate crisis is grave and serious, and the window of opportunity for effective climate action is narrowing and closing fast. However, we must not give in to despair. Instead, we must take effective action now to ensure the planet remains livable and conducive for the flourishing of life and human civilization now and into the future. We can all be climate heroes and help to save the planet.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Julian, for joining me today. I've been speaking to Julian Dezera, who is the project manager of the Malaysian Local Conference of Youth 2020. And that's going to be happening very soon, virtually, of course, this year. And if you'd like to find out more, you can visit mydclimate.org, or you can follow at mydclimate on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. So all the instructions are there if you'd like to join the conference. So just head on there straight away and participate. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.